The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And hey, good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, the 10th day of January 2019. As we speak, President Trump making plans to wing his way down to the Texas border. That'll make some news, one imagines. And we welcome our friends at Freedom 1160 San Antonio for the first hour ride along, and everybody along the various platforms of 660 AM, The Answer DFW. It's a two-show day, just like yesterday, but I didn't do Hewitt today. Hugh was back talking about his adventures in Israel and Turkey. After we are done at 10, you get Mike Gallagher and then the Dennis Prager Show, noon to 2. That one's hosted by me today. So we get some local time together and some national time together. Listen, and there's some days you need two shows, and this might be one of them. We got a lot to talk about. Let's start with matters related to the showdown, the standoff, the border issues, and some tax issues and tariff issues as well, because it is our great pleasure to welcome a gentleman who served the 8th Congressional District of Texas, the area, the sprawling area north of Houston, where he's been since the election of 1996. You'll remember him recently as the chairman of House Ways and Means, but then, hey, we lost the House to the Democrats, so he is now the ranking member of House Ways and Means. It is our friend, Congressman Kevin Brady. Welcome, sir, and Happy New Year. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me on The Answer. I appreciate it.
It is our great pleasure. Listen, I want to talk about all kinds of issues that are part of your purview, but Election Day was what it was. Is daily life different? Being the chair is a wonderful thing. It means we have the majority. It means you're the chairman. Now, gosh, Richard Neal of Massachusetts is the chairman. What do we know about him? And just how's the lay of the land now?
So, yeah, look, it is a painful transition. I don't want to kid you. So I've gone from waking up every day trying to figure out how do we lower taxes, get the economy going, to waking up every day, how do we stop tax increases and stop policy, really bad policy ideas that slow this economy down. Look, we vaulted in a year. We went from a nation asking where are the jobs to now we're asking where are the workers. Our economy's jumped from to number one most competitive economy in the nation. Manufacturing's roaring back, the best since the 1990s. So there's so many positive things going on. And our worry now is that a lot of these really bad ideas will curtail that growth. But look, that's our job. Now, and we're hard at it. Rich Neal is from Massachusetts, has been in Congress a number of years. I found him to be a very solid man. While he's very liberal, we did find common ground on a number of areas. The question always, though, is that who runs the committee? In the past, when Charlie Rangel was chairman, Nancy Pelosi ran the committee from her office. And so we'll see if she'll continue sort of that stronghold on all these committee chairmen.
You've put it in a way that is almost poetic, and that is that when we are in the majority, when a Republican chairman of a committee, the challenge is, okay, how do we implement our good ideas? Now, and believe you me, that hasn't been the easiest thing in the world.
No.
A lot of voters ask, hey, you had all three branches, what the heck? And I think you understand that. Now it is, how do we stop the bad ideas of the other side? It's like, I guess it's the difference between playing offense and playing defense.
It is. And look, where there is common ground, I mean, if they actually want to govern rather than just attack the president, we're there. Look, we got some drug problems. We got plenty of things we could work on together if they choose it. But right now, these early signals, you know, don't look good in this, at this government shutdown, which isn't necessary, all over what we know has to happen. We have to control the border and provide more resources. This isn't a very encouraging early sign.
No, it's not. And you know it, and I know it, and I know Democrats who will admit it. I guess they're just not in elected office. So let's take stock of the shutdown. What are we, day 20 or something now? Mm-hmm. And the president doesn't look like he's going to budge. I think that was the news made night before last in the competing addresses there. They said, oh, nobody made any news. Everybody said the same thing. And that's true. But I think that maybe the sitting on the fence American who doesn't quite know what to think, who's right, saw a president with deep resolve, and it doesn't look like he's going to blink. Was that your takeaway as well?
I agree. And, you know, one, I thought it was the right thing to just talk to the people about what his position is and why. I think he laid out by far the most compelling case for this. This is about border security and protecting Americans. It's not just a wall. It's other resources that are needed to protect, again, our security. And he said something about, he's referring to politicians who have walls around their own homes.
Yep.
His point is really a great point. You don't have that there because you hate the people outside. It's because you love the people inside. And he believes, and I do too, that his first, number one priority, constitutional responsibility, is to keep Americans safe. And from Texas, I'm from the Houston region. You mentioned it north of Houston. But look, we pay the price for this southern border. We are the number one hub for human sex trafficking in the U.S. 80,000 underage kids, boys and girls, forced in prostitution. The meth, the heroin, the MS-13 gangs, which continue to murder with impunity. We see all of that in real life in our community. So the president, you know, the national media can try to fact check all you want, but the facts on the ground are real people, innocent people, pay the price when that southern border isn't adequately patrolled.
Here's the question I ask everybody. It seems like a compromise that should make everybody happy, as if that exists. And here's how it goes. The president gets every dime of his $5.6 billion for the wall. And what do the Democrats get? A pledge from the president, a pledge from our side, that we will find a way to carve out citizenship for the DACA kids who are here already. Not future waves of them, because that would be an incentive.
Right.
But it's the quintessential story of the 16-year-old with a 4.0 average, a golden magnificent student who's never known any other country but America. We ain't going to kick him out of the country. And so if the tricky thing is, that seems like something that would make both sides happy, but I don't know if the Democrats would accept it.
Well, here's what we know. A, Mark, that makes perfect sense. And B, we actually voted on that compromise in June. Full funding for the wall in return for legal status for the Dreamers who are here. And reuniting families at the border while their cases are being heard, exactly what Democrats had been protesting and rallying for. Not a single House Democrat voted for that compromise.
So it seemed that the poison pill was a wall, that border
was
security.
The wall. That I mean,
if the wall is there, something that is not any skin off anybody's nose, you can like or not like the wall, but it's not like having one hurts anybody. But it was a sufficient kryptonite that it then caused them to bail on things they said they wanted.
Absolutely. So much so, and the media didn't cover much, but it's funny, the Dreamers followed it because many of them said, look, we just got abandoned, you know, by the very Democrats who were rallying for us. You know, they had an opportunity, first time ever, to actually give us a legal status. And for those of us who are working, going to school, have jobs, you know, we have an opportunity, and they just crushed it because they dislike this president. It has created a dysfunction that I haven't seen around here for years.
I know, and it's a Democrat thing, but we got some Republicans we got to talk about. I mean, I don't know what to think about, you know, fresh Senator Romney. And listen, if you're Texas buddy and a guy I've had on the show a lot, can you get a hold of Will Hurd, please? I mean, God bless him. I'm glad he won, but doggone it, man. You know, he has not been helpful in the last couple of weeks either.
Well, look, Will is in a huge, sprawling, tough district where he's really got to represent his members, or his constituents, excuse me, as best he can. It's not easy. What I do know is that on so many border and homeland security issues, he has backed us in the past. This one's just especially difficult for them. But I'll note this as well. There are Democrats now, they just don't get much coverage, up in D.C. who are saying it is time to find a compromise. This just saying no and insisting, you know, there'll be no discussions, isn't working for them. And so, look, we'll see. I think this is the time I've noticed, and I've negotiated with the president a lot over tax reform, trade issues like that, where he's showing a lot of flexibility in the sense that, look, how we get to those resources, whether it's 1 year or two, you know, where, how we fund it, what is the role of border security, detention drones, and technology, you know, he's open to all of that. All he's getting is a no.
And here's all I would ask, because I trust you, I trust him, is don't get rolled. Don't get rolled. Don't give the Democratic Party anything in return for the promise of border security down the road, because you know it will not happen.
We have been down that. We've run that play before.
Yes, we've seen that movie, and I do not like how it ends. Hey, in our remaining couple of minutes, Congressman Kevin Brady is with us, 8th District of Texas, big, big district north of Houston, and he's ranking member of House Ways and Means. So let's talk about some ways and means type stuff. Let's talk taxes. What lies ahead for taxes? The great part of the Trump record on taxes is a tax cut that absolutely benefited virtually all Americans. Is there now a struggle with Democrats in power in the House to keep that tax cut?
Yeah. So two things we think will happen. One, their move to repeal the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which, by the way, has driven this economy, not only kept more money in middle-class families' pockets, driving the economy in a way we haven't seen in decades or longer, especially helping people who need the most help getting jobs. They're intent on repealing that. Secondly, they've got a whole host of new taxes, you know, carbon taxes that they're proposing, this new 70% top tax rate for some Americans, on and on and on. And so Washington has all the money it needs. It just doesn't have all the money it wants. And so all these new taxes are designed to give Washington more spending. And so we've got real fights on hand there.
Boy, you're just a quote machine today. That is so great that Washington absolutely has all the money it needs. It just doesn't have all the money it wants. Let's flip to tariffs. Count me among the conservatives thrilled every day that Trump won. I'm loving enormous majority of this agenda. The tariffs thing, I don't know. The conservative DNA in me tends to be skeptical of tariffs, but when I get the feeling that he's using them as a bargaining chip, that the ultimate goal is to get other countries to say uncle, and then so that nobody's paying tariffs X number of years down the road, I get a little more open to it. What's been your path along the tariffs?
Yeah,
road?
So we are running the exact same. I'm not a tariff guy. I believe there are taxes. So look, lower is good. Zero's better. It's like taxes. You know, if they're high, tariffs drive up the costs. They cause less investment, make you less competitive. The president has made the case to us, look, be patient. I'm using this to drive these countries to the negotiating table with Mexico and Canada. Europeans were in town yesterday. I met with their leadership. They're in town to try to create a more fair trading relationship with Europe. And we've got a team, White House team over in China as we speak, that added an extra day to those negotiations. They're hopeful that they're making progress there. I think the main focus for us has to be on China, because their economic model is cheating, and it costs us. So I'm eager for us to lift the tariffs on trading partners like Mexico, Canada, Europe, that trade more fairly, and really focus on what I think is the global problem, and that's China.
Last thing, Congressman Kevin Brady with us. The Democrats have the House. And that's a bummer. But the Senate is a smidge more Republican. And for every Mitt Romney, there's a Josh Hawley, and a slightly stronger grade of Republicans. So there was good news there. Trump is still president. So the House a Democrat-led House can engage in all kinds of mischief, but there will be a Republican Senate and a Republican president there as a backstop.
Absolutely. That veto pen matters. In that Senate matters. I think many of the bills we're voting on this week, for example, which are just sort of retreads from last week, they're all dead on arrival, including the bill to just fund the agencies and then punt on border security. It's dead on arrival. Everyone knows it. So these are all just show votes. And we ought to be using the time actually sitting down with the president and hammering out a common ground. There, this is not, Mark, this, I've been through a number of shutdowns. This one's not a hard one. All you need is some political leadership from Democrats who are willing to actually just find that middle ground, and it's there.
North of Houston, there's the 8th District, and Kevin Brady has represented it so well since the Clinton re-election campaign, right, 1996?
Yes, sir.
And had been there ever since and rose to the level of House Ways and Means Chairman, now ranking member, since Democrats have control for the moment. It is a pleasure to have you, sir. Thank you, and Happy New Year. I look forward to talking to you a lot in the future.
Thank you, Mark. Take care.
God bless. Congressman Kevin Brady of Texas. I'm Mark Davis at 722. We have a ton of big-time musical birthdays today.
I recall the night we knelt and prayed.
We begin with Rod Stewart.
Noticing your face was thin and pale.
73 today. What a catalog.
I found it hard to hide my tears.
I know it's easy to go to Do You Think I'm Sexy and Hot Legs and, you know, all the huge hits.
No mandolin wind.
Mandolin wind from Every Picture Tells a Story. Same album gave us Maggie May, 1971.
No, no.
Just an incredible, incredible record. So we'll do some Rod Stewart that maybe you haven't heard so much, and then a bunch of other artists. Just ride with me, because it's going to be, wow, this may be one of the biggest high-caliber musical birthday days in a long time. So sit tight. I'll roll them out for you. Let's roll out some calls, too. 866-660-5759. We're in North Richland Hills. Steve, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Big fan.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, I had a comment about the Democrats not budging on the wall or accepting the DACA offer from President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I figure that they're just waiting until they control the presidency, and then they're going to grant mass amnesty to everyone and try not to have a wall in the meantime.
Anything's possible, you know, because trying to read these people's minds will give you a headache. And that's why that's a spectacular point you make. And that's why yet we have to protect ourselves, not just from what they're saying now and what they're trying to do now, but what they would do if they are given more power. If we have a Democrat House and it's joined by a Democrat Senate in the election of 2020, does everybody know how screwed we are? So I love the Kevin Brady quote, my metaphor about the backstop, that as long as we've got a Democrat House, that's a bummer. But there's a Senate, Republican Senate, Republican president to stop their mischief if they have the will to do so. That is why it's extremely important not just to have people with an R by their name, but to have people who are actual conservative Republicans actually willing to help the president's agenda. And that is aimed directly at the office of Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski as well, and some other folks I could name. We're in Fort Worth. Floyd, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you.
It is a beautiful morning, isn't it?
It is great.
Listen, I listen to you every morning, and you're always having the ranking Senate committee member, House member, blah, 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 and they've been there for 10, 12, 15, 20 years. They're part of the problem. They have been there so long that they have got nothing done. We had the House, we had the Senate, we had the presidency. They did nothing for 2 years, nothing. They couldn't even get rid of Obamacare.
Well, we got rid of the individual mandate. We got rid of a lot of it, but it doesn't mean you don't have a point. Couple of points of optimism, and I think he's sometimes over-criticized, but Paul Ryan is gone. Kevin McCarthy is the House Minority Leader now. If we get the majority back, which I hope we do, I think there'll be a battle featuring Kevin McCarthy and some other people, and there's somebody I want to name for you who's just ascended to the chairman of the House Republican Conference, the job Jeb Henseling used to have, and that is one of my favorite elected officials ever, Liz Cheney. And you take a look at her, and you take a look. I've a kind of a slogan of late that Trump has made everybody better. Trump has made Mitch McConnell better. Trump has made John Cornyn better. Trump has made Lindsey Graham better.
Why did Trump have to make them better? Why didn't they go into the office better?
He gets a great question. They needed cover. They needed cover. Conservatism is one of the hardest things in the world to sell to people because it means government wants to do less for you. We're going to give you more of your liberty, more of your money, but we're not going to let you attach to the government teat for every flipping day of your life. Conservatism is incredibly hard to sell, and it takes either scholarly skill or the crazy white-hot engine that is Trump, who just doesn't care. It's like, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to give it back to the media. I'm going to give it back to Democrats. And with him walking the point, all kinds of people are falling in line better than they did when they were just left to their own devices. Superb concerns, Floyd. You're absolutely right. This is why I am optimistic. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you very much. 731, Mark Davis, 866-660-5759. And this is 660 AM, The Answer DFW, and Freedom 1160, San Antonio. 731, Gordon Griffin's in the newsroom. I'm going to suggest that if you take a look at songwriting, the story told, the melody, Operator by Jim Croce, probably one of the 20 greatest songs ever written by anybody, presuming that, you know, the top 10 are probably the Beatles. Jim Croce died in a plane crash in Louisiana when he was 30 in 1973. And today is his, would have been, his 75th birthday. And Mike Gallagher today is it is an amazing litany of musical birthdays. Rod Stewart is 73 today. Jim Croce would have been 75.
Wow.
Donald Fagen, half of Steely Dan, is 71. Pat Benatar is 66. So there's a little bit of today's musical diet.
You know who's also great on those? I'm a sucker for those storytelling songs
Me too.
And Harry Chapin.
Oh, spectacular.
Cats in the Cradle. I mean.
And Taxi, my gosh, the heart-rending. I am the morning DJ at WOLDDDDD.
I love those songs.
All the hits for you, wherever you may be.
And he was a notoriously horrible driver, drove like a bat out of hell, and sure enough, he was killed on the Long Island Expressway, heading off to some free concert that he was going to do for a charity.
Up in your neck of the woods. I know, was that Long Island or something?
Not far from where Denise and I and the kids used to have a house on the North Shore of Long Island, and wrapped himself around a tree or something.
He was 38. I mean, you think about what these people would have done. I guess it's true of almost everybody of what they would have done if they'd had, because they died literally in their prime.
I know.
And
I
we were left with a pretty amazing category.
I got a bone to pick with you. Forget those dead artists.
Yeah, enough of that stuff.
I mean, my whole day's wrecked yesterday. I mean, Hewitt, I get it. Oh, I'm off to Israel. I'm off to Turkey. I'm hanging out with John Bolton. Oh, all I know is it wrecks my day because you fill in for him.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Well, listen, I added you on Twitter, ATTED, the verb to at, of a guy who wrote and said, I missed your chat with Mike. Always enjoy you doing Hewitt. When will you be back tomorrow? Because if there's one thing I love doing the Hewitt show, but it means the 7 o'clock hour is national me rather than local me, and the price we pay is this.
Have Dwayne do this segment for 15 minutes.
I'll be right back. I got to go talk to Mike.
I got to talk to Mike. I mean, listen, I'm driving in this morning, listening, of course, to him, then to you. I got to hear Hugh with Chuck Todd, his buddy Chuck Todd.
I know.
And then he turns around and he plays that magnificent clip of Trump smacking down Jonathan Carl.
Oh, and it lets everybody understand that. As reporters will do, and it looked like there were 50 reporters ringing the Resolute desk in the Oval Office, essentially saying, hey, why don't you just sign the document, do what you got to do and reopen the government. And Trump turns to Jonathan Carl and says, is that what you would do, John? If you were president, is that what you would do? To Carl's credit, I guess, he doesn't say, yeah, that's what I would do. He says, well, I'm not president. This is you. But then he makes clear that's exactly what he'd do. And the president ultimately winds up a delicious minute and a half by saying, well, if you were in my spot, would you do that? Because if you would, I'm really glad you're not in my spot because you'd never get anything done.
Well, so then Hugh comes along and says, now here's my advice for reporters who have that approach given to them by the president.
Right.
They need to say this is an interview, not a... I'm thinking, why are are you coaching reporters? Come on, Hugh. I mean, it's like sometimes even the people who you think are on board aren't quite there yet. I mean, Hugh's back and forth and all of that, and he's got his buddies within the Beltway, and he's a Beltway guy. And I don't say that to put him down, but, you know, normal people just love that. Normal people love Kellyanne Conway smacking around Jim Acosta yesterday.
PG-13, everybody, called him a smartass.
Well, sometimes you got to call a smartass a smartass.
That's what, if it walks like a talks like a...
Yeah, here's a newsman who's sarcastically saying, you have a alternative facts problem. I don't have an alternative facts problem like you, mocking her because of that thing she said months and months ago that she still gets hammered about. And it was like, she was like, really? Really? You're a newsman? And just unloaded on her, on him, like the Jersey girl she is. The inner Jersey came out, and I love it. Listen, none of these people have been up against a guy like this ever. Nancy Pelosi has never had to tangle with somebody like Donald Trump. Schumer has never had to deal. That's why they got shuffling out there in front of the podium looking like the Munsters.
Oh, my gosh.
My gosh, Mark. Seriously, can you fire somebody who was responsible for that debacle? Trump won the night because of that. Those were the optics. You got a presidential address that lasted 10 or 12 minutes that was short, sweet, and to the point. We got a crisis at the border. I want to do something about it. I want to end the shutdown. And then they walk out looking like, you know, your parents when you got caught late being out at night and you snuck back into the house and they were waiting for you at the front door. You can't make that up, Mark.
Just scowling and severe. And here's the other disadvantage they had. If they were really smart, they would have had, again, I'm dead serious about this, Beto and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And don't even write anything. Listen to him talk, take notes, and then say, guys, you got 10 minutes, go. Instead, we had Pelosi and Schumer saying things that they had written before the president even spoke.
They don't even care. People that are writing this, it just writes itself. They don't want to talk to him. So yesterday, you know what? He's right to walk out. If they're not going to give it all on funding for the border, then walk out. Take your candy.
We got nothing to do here.
Nothing to do here. Bye-bye. He's got to invoke the executive, the emergency order.
That may be the thing.
That's all he's got, Mark. It's all he's got left. Now the only question left is whether he does it before or after the State of the Union. Because that's coming up end of the month, January, I think it's the 29th,
correct, huh?
You know, and he's either got to do it before, pull the trigger, or do it after. But it's not going to, it's all he's got. And he cannot, Senator Lindsey Graham is so right on this. He cannot bend on this. If he bends, it's over. If he loses this, it's over. We don't stand a chance in 2020. We will get decimated. He's going to lose his presidency. He cannot bend. Now, that doesn't mean fail to compromise. He'll compromise. You know, you want steel instead of concrete? Okay, we'll do steel. You want slats instead of a solid wall? Okay, but we need border security. And the lie is they don't. So I like
and
the people,
and I do too. And I think that a majority, and I don't know if it's 50.001% or more like 65, think he's right about border security.
Mark,
Mike, I spent all day yesterday in an introspective mood. I want to bounce it off you.
Sure.
I feel the pendulum swinging a little bit each day toward an America where the really ideologically wired people, the conservatives have always been with him, the liberals will always hate him. But in the middle, there's a third of the country that wakes up each morning and just kind of sees what's going on, puts on their pants and tries to get to work. I think they look at this continuing shutdown and they feel the way, I can't believe I'm invoking her, they feel the way Cher does. Cher looks at Pelosi and Schumer and says, oh, just give him the money. Just give it to him. Don't die on this hill.
Well, I hope. I don't know. It's so weird because the media is in such hysteria right now, and they are. They're now using this tactic, fact checking in real time.
I know, but it's not fact checking. It's opinion checking.
That's all. It's interpretation. Yes. They're not fact checking, but they're calling it fact checking to make people think the obvious inference is this guy is such a liar that we have to fact check him in real time. Do you think those statistics he read the night before last were false.
Well, no, of course not.
Do you really? He had a team of probably about 800 people putting that speech together. Mm-hmm. You think they're making numbers up out of whole cloth? Today comes the news that 20 dead bodies were found near the border. 17 of them burned right there in right by the Mexican-U.S. border. Now there's a problem of kids being sick at the border. We got the instances of children being seriously sick, tuberculosis, flu, infections. Those numbers are soaring. Now border authorities are referring 50 people a day for urgent medical care. You know, and most of this are children. A staggering 28% are under age 5. We have a crisis, Mark. Texans know it. I hope Americans know it. I don't know. I worry about people who just don't feel like they're impacted by a border crisis like this. But, and you know, we're going to have to wait and see. Just get ready.
Absolutely.
Get ready for the emergency order.
Is there anything else? Give me 30 to 60 seconds of anything else that you've got to give me about today's show, because I need 2, maybe 3 minutes right now as we wrap up to give
quick,
you something that
I'll give you 15 seconds.
I crave your opinion on.
Let's get 15 seconds on the government shutdown spotlighting the people who are going to be impacted tomorrow. Don't minimize them.
No.
I don't like that. I talked to another show today.
Don't scoff at, it's like, oh, to hell with those people. They're just government workers.
And you notice people who are? There, a lot of people on our side are doing that. Oh, it's just they'll be all right.
That's not smart.
Don't do that. Let's have compassion. Let's realize, let's not forget what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. Millions of Americans do. Okay, we'll focus on that as well today.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to say two words. You either know the story or you don't. You ready?
Yes.
Rochester weatherman.
I think I do.
A Rochester weatherman named Jeremy Capel was doing a weather forecast, talking about weather in Rochester.
Oh, this is the MLK thing, right?
Makes a reference, and he says, hey, something's going to be happening down tomorrow at Martin Luther King Jr. Park, except he has a kind of a flub of the tongue and throws out Martin Luther Coon. Corrects it immediately, Martin Luther King Jr. Park. So, honest mistake or a revelation of his racism? The mayor of Rochester calls for him to be fired. He has been fired. Listen, that's the most unfortunate slip of the tongue you can ever make. Nobody noticed it on the set at the time. It took a couple of days for this to become a thing. So one of two things is true. Either totally honest mistake, or that whole Martin Luther Coon is something that's kind of in his lexicon and it just kind of dribbled out. It's impossible to know whether that's true. I fall back on my bottom line, which is give people benefit of the doubt unless you know they don't deserve benefit of the doubt. What about you?
Last night, Tucker Carlson did a big monologue on this very point about people getting fired over speech or what they believe in. Or in this case, he didn't include this story, by the way, but he was talking about people at Amazon fired for being conservatives or Trump supporters, literally firing people for their beliefs. That is as un-American as it gets. In this guy's case, and incidentally, you talk about his supporters and his detractors.
Al Roker.
Al Roker said,
an actual weatherman, an actual black man, says, get off the guy's back. We all mess up every once in a while.
What I'm worried, the only thing that bothers me that kind of sticks in my craw, and I don't know that phrase, I mean, but I heard a conversation about this the other day where somebody said, yeah, a lot of people say that phrase
so often. That gets thrown down. Is it common these days? Not so much.
Over
the years, has that been a thing?
But if it's a racist thing that he has said, obviously, for much of his life, and that's why it instinctively stuck in his brain, again.
But there's no way to know that.
Well, how do you know it? You have no way.
You don't. So you presume, again, benefit of the doubt, Now, listen, if he'd had some controversy in his past that suggested racism, well, then maybe you got to look at it.
I mean, it's a business decision. It's a business decision.
That's infuriating because I know it's a business decision.
Yep.
But the reason his TV station, Channel 10 in Rochester, fired him is because they knew that if they didn't, they would have angry picketing hordes that Al Sharpton would make his way up there and make their life hell. They threw this guy under the bus, and I hate it.
Part of the business decision is that he was only there a year or two. So it's not like this was a guy who was even well known or invested in the community. And that's what they do. They gotta let you do look at the pros and cons. Let me be devil's advocate, because I tend to agree with you on this, but let me be devil's advocate. Yep. Company has a right to say we don't want the aggravation.
Totally right. The company has every right to do whatever they want. But this guy was on Facebook apologizing profusely.
I hate the modern day story. We're all under the gun. Be careful.
Really.
Today could be the day.
You never know.
Say one thing and that's Look out. I'm driving my monorail at Disney World by next week.
Just 1 millimeter away. All righty, man. Well, we will be listening
to
you.
Glad to have you back, my friend.
You betcha. Great to be here. Mike Gallagher is right after we are done at 6:60 a.m. The Answer at DFW and right around the bed on AM 930. The Answer in San Antonio. Sister broadcast outlet of Freedom 1160 who carries this sparkling first hour. I'm Mark Davis at 7:51.
We're running with the shadows of the night. So baby, take my hand, it'll be all right. Surrender all your dreams to me tonight. They'll come true in the end.
1982 from the album Get Nervous. Pat Benatar, Shadows of the Night. She is 66 today. We'll let her take us out. Freedom 1160, San Antonio. Thanks. See you in the morning. 6:60 a.m. The Answer DFW. One down, two to go. Plenty more to achieve. So sit tight. It's a Thursday. The talk show gods are smiling. Glad we're together. 6:60 a.m. The Answer DFW. Freedom 1160, San Antonio.
On the inside.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.